This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vo'era, and in Parsha's Vo'era we have 7 of the 10 plagues. We will focus our shiur today on the plague of Dam, on the first plague of blood, which is found on chapter 7, beginning on Pasuk number 14, all the way to Pasuk number, I will paraphrase the Psukim, that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to stand in front of Paro in the morning when he's coming out to the Nile and tell him to send the Jewish people out. And then Pasuk number 17, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Pharaoh that with this you will know that Hashem sent me, that I am hitting with the staff that is in my hand on the water that's in the river, and the water will turn into blood, and the fish that's in the river will die, and the river will stink, and the Egyptians will refrain from drinking water from the river. Next Pasuk tells you that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Aharon to take the staff and stretch the arm on the waters of Mitzrayim, on the rivers, on their canals, on the reservoirs, and any gathering of water, and it'll turn to blood, and there'll be blood on Egypt, bo'etzim of avonim, on the wood and on the stones. Rashi explains that wood and stones here does not mean literally on the wood, on the stones, means any vessels made of wood or any vessels made of stone that had water, that water will turn into blood. But Sefer Mincha Belula explained that when it says that the blood should be in the wood and in the stone, it is meant literally, meaning that any moisture that is in the wood or any moisture that is in the rock turn to blood. In other words, since there is moisture everywhere, that moisture ended up taking the nature of blood and the color of blood. That means that any furniture that they had was bloody. Any idol that they had became bloody. The walls became red, and everything that they had turned into a bloody color. Pasuk number 20 continues that Aharon and Moshe Rabbeinu did like Hashem commanded them, and he raised his staff and he hid the water that's in the river in the eyes of Paroi and in the eyes of his servants, and all the water of the river turned to be blood. And the Pasuk 21 continues that the fish on the river died and stunk up the river, and the Egyptians could not drink water from the river, and there was blood in the whole land of Egypt. Pasuk 22 continues and says that the necromancers, the sorcerers of Paroi, did so with their incantations, meaning that they were also able to turn water into blood. We'll have to understand where did they get the water from. And Paroi's heart was hardened because he saw that they, the necromancers, did the same thing, and he didn't listen to Moshe and Aharon as Hashem said that he would do. The next Pasuk says that the Egyptians dug around the river for water to drink because they could not drink from the water of the river. The first question that we are going to ask is if the plague of blood affected the Jewish people or not. The Evan Ezra on Perek Zayin, Pasuk number Chav Dalet, where it says, Vayachperu, that the Egyptians dug around the river, brings that Rabbim Oimrim, a lot of people say, Ki amayim hoyu bayad ha-mitzri adumim kedam, that when an Egyptian touched the water was red as blood, venislabnu bayad ha-israeli, and they turned white in the hand of the Jew. And by the way, this is really the opinion of the Medrash Rabbah, Perek Tes Simen Yud, where the Medrash there says, Omer Rabavin Alevi Berebi, that Rabavin Alevi the Great says, Mimakas dam hashiru Israel, that from the makah of blood, the Jewish people became wealthy. And he explains that an Egyptian and a Jew are in the same house, and in that house there is a big barrel of water. when the Egyptian is coming to drink from the barrel turns out to be blood. The Jew comes to drink from the barrel turns out to be water. The Egyptian, realizing this, has the Jew give him the water from the barrel, meaning the Jew is holding the water, and he gives for the Egyptian to drink. But as soon as the lips of the Egyptian touches the cup, that water turns out to be blood. Then the Egyptian has an idea. He thinks that I'm going to have a plate, and the Jew and me are going to be drinking from the same plate at the same time. The Midrash says that even though they did this, in one plate they put a bowl of water, the Jew drank water, and the Egyptian still drank blood. The Egyptian realized that if he buys from the Jew water, then that water will not change to blood. And the Midrash says that from this plague, the Jewish people became wealthy. Going back to our Evan Ezra, the Evan Ezra says that a lot of people say that the blood was red in the hand of the Egyptian, meaning that the Egyptian touched the blood, it was red. But as soon as the Jew touched the blood, it turned white, meaning that it turned back to water. But the Evan Ezra says that if that would be true regarding this miracle of the plague of blood, how come such a great miracle is missing from the Torah? Why doesn't the Torah disclose this miracle? If, in fact, the blood turned to water as soon as the Jew touched it, such a miracle should be disclosed in the Torah. Therefore, the Evan Ezra says that he believes that the first three plagues, dam, blood, svardeya, the frogs, and kinim, and lice, included Jews and Egyptians alike. Because we have to follow the pasuk. And the reason that included the Jews too is because these plagues did not damage so much. But you'll see that the makas of Oroif, the maka of wild animal, that there was a harsh plague. There it's written clearly in the pasuk on chapter 8, pasuk number 18, Veiflesi bayom ahu es eretz Goshen, I will separate that day the land of Goshen, Asher ami oimed aleihu, that my nation is on top of it, meaning that the Jews live on it, levilti hayois shom oroif, that there won't be there wild animals. And you'll take a look, the next plague, the plague of Dever, it's also written on chapter 9, pasuk number 4, regarding the plague of Dever that caused the cattle to die. There the pasuk says, Viflo Hashem be'mikne Yisrael, uve'mikne Mitzrayim, Hashem will separate between the livestock of the Jew and the livestock of the Egyptian. V'lo yomuz mikol livne Yisrael davar, and from anything that the Jew owns will not die a thing. So we see clearly in another plague that when the Jew did not suffer from the plague, the Torah clearly specifies that the Jew was separated from the Egyptian. You could deduce that if the Torah does not write that the Jew was separated from the Egyptian, then the Jew and the Egyptian suffered alike. And he brings one more plague that the Jew was separated from the Egyptian, is the plague of Barot, of hail, that in the chapter 9, pasuk number 26, the pasuk says, Rak be'eretz Goshen shesham b'nei Yisrael, only in the land of Goshen that there the Jewish people were residing, lo yehayo barot, there was no hail. We see clearly that when the Torah wants to specify to me that the Jews did not suffer, the Torah tells you, and he says that the makah of Shechin, the makah of boils, and the makah of Arba, the makah of locust, since the Torah does not specify that the Jew did not suffer, he says that in those plagues the Jew also suffered. And could be because since the Jewish people were about to leave anyways, then Hashem did not want to save the vegetation of the Jewish people because they are destined to go to the desert and eat man and not vegetables. And Hashem didn't want that the Egyptians should enjoy those vegetables. Therefore, the Evan Ezra says clearly that the first three plagues, Dam, Tzfardeya, and Kinim, the Jew and the Egyptians were affected alike. And when the Torah tells you that O Mitzrayim went to dig around the river in order to get water, that means Jew and Egyptians were busy digging around the river in order to get water. And according to this Evan Ezra, we're going to have to explain how did the necromancers, the magicians of Paroi, find water in order to change that to blood. Meaning that if I hold the opinion of the Medrash that every time an Egyptian bought water from a Jew, it was water, then I could say that the Egyptian magicians bought waters from the Jew, and that water they were able to transform, they were able to duplicate the miracle by changing that water into blood. But if I say that the Jew and Egyptian were affected in the same way, that both of them did not have water, then we have a question of where did the magicians find water to show to Paroi that they could also change the water into blood. If everybody was affected, obviously there was no water around, then how can the magicians show that they are able to change the water into blood? The simple answer could be the answer of the Sephorna, that the Sephorna says that actually the magicians didn't do any miracles. They weren't able to change anything. All they use is achizas einaim, optical illusion, meaning that they made everybody believe that they are looking at water and the water turned to blood, but in truth, they didn't do anything. Or we could say, like Rabbeinu Bachya says, that Rabbeinu Bachya says that these sorcerers were very treacherous, meaning that since Moshe Rabbeinu announced previously that he is going to turn the water into blood, then what the magicians did is they called an audience and they were timing exactly that when a harn is going to hit the water, they will have the people watching the flask of water, and they said some incantations and that water turned to blood. The people in the audience, not knowing that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon are the ones doing the miracle, they thought that the magicians actually turned water into blood. And when Paroi was commenting how great the God of the Jew is, that the God of the Jew is able to change the water into blood, some of the people in the audience said that this is no big deal. We actually saw the magicians do the same trick, that they were also able to change the water into blood. And once Paroi heard that the magicians were able to duplicate this trick, then Paroi did not believe that the miracle was so great, because Paroi really thought that the magicians were able to change water into blood. Paroi did not know that this was exactly in the same time that the Aharon stuck the river and the magicians were tricking the people into believing that they are the ones who changed the water into blood. Therefore, Paroi did not believe the miracle. But the Or HaChaim HaKadosh and Evan Ezra themselves say a different answer. They say that when Aharon made the plague of blood, Aharon was only able to affect revealed water, water that was already outside of the world, meaning outside of the ground. But any water that was inside the ground, any new well that hasn't been dug up yet, those waters were not affected by the plague. Meaning that the plague affects at this instance all the water that are in existence. But any new water that's going to be dug up in a new well, that water did not have the quality of blood. Therefore, the magicians, according to the Rahaim, were able to take the water that was dug up from the new well, and that water they were able to turn into blood. And that's why the Rachaim says that the pasuk right after the plague, it says that the whole Egypt dug around the river, because since they saw the new water that comes out is pure water, then they were able to dig around the river for new water, and that water turned out to be water. And Ibn Ezra continues and says that even though the Egyptians were able to duplicate that miracle, nonetheless, there's a big difference between the miracle of Aharon and the miracle of the Egyptians. Because number one, Aharon was able to turn the whole river and all the waters that in all borders of Egypt, even waters that you can't see, those waters turned out to be blood. And the Egyptians were only able to change the water that's in front of them. And second, that Aharon was able to change a river, water that is has a current in it, that is constantly running, and new water comes behind it, that all the waters coming behind it turned out to be blood also. A third thing, he says, that Aharon's miracle was able to last for 7 days, meaning that for 7 days there was blood, and the Egyptians were only able to change the waters momentarily to blood. And as soon as Paroi turned his face, the blood or the water turned to be water again. And also the Egyptians were only able to change a small quantity of water into blood. And even though all these differences are so acute and so telling, nonetheless Paroi chose to ignore it, and therefore Hashem had to send later on the second plague. The Radvaz, Rab David ben Shloima Vizimri, which was born in Spain in 1479, brings in his Sefer Shalos Tshuvos, Chelek Beis, Simen Tov Tov Yud Gimel, the idea of the Ibn Ezra, that again, the Ibn Ezra says that the Makkah of Dam, Tzfardei and Kinim, blood, frogs and lice, were equally effective to Egyptian and Jew alike. And he says, Osur lehamin davar zeh. You are not allowed to believe this idea of the Ibn Ezra, that the Jewish people suffered in the plagues of blood, frogs, and lice. You are not allowed to believe this, since the psukim clearly contradicted, because regarding the makkah of blood, after Aharon hits the waters of the river, it's written, that the Egyptians could not drink water from the river. And it's written further on Pasuk number 24, kol Mitzrayim sivus ayor, all the Egyptians looked around the river, but not that the Jews were suffering too. And a clearer proof you could find in the Makkah of Tzfardeya, because there, when the prediction is about the Makkah, it's written on Pasuk number 28, Veshara Tzayori Tzfardeim, that the river is going to make frogs, V'alu, they will come up, V'au, they will go in, Beveisecha, in your house, V'chadar Mishkovcha, in your bedrooms, V'almitosecha, on your beds, referring to Paroi, Beveis Avodecha, and on the house of your servants, Uve'amecha, and in your nation, Uve tanurecho, and in your oven, uve mishartecho, and in your kneading bowls. And the pasuk continues clearly, uvecha, and in you, uve amcha, and in your nation, uve chol avodecho, and all your servants, yalu hatzfardim, the frogs will come up. We see clearly that only in the Egyptians the frog went up. It's not written in all Am Yisrael the frogs will come up, or that the frogs were all over the land of Egypt. And also when Paroi asks that Moshe Aharon removes the plague, it's written on Pasuk number 7 of chapter 8, V'saru atzfardim, the frogs will be removed, Mimcha, from you, Mibotecho, and from your houses, Mavodecho, and from your servants, Mamecho, and from your nation, Rak Bayor Tisharon, they're only going to remain in the river. We see clearly that they did not go in the house of the Jews, because they were not removed from the house of the Jews, and when the plague came, only came to the house of the Egyptian. And the Radvaz continues and says, true that in the Makkah of Kinim we have no reference exactly that the Jews did not suffer. But we have a rule that we learn what is not written from what is written, since in the first two Makkahs we see clearly that the Jews did not suffer, then we have to assume that the Makkah of Kinim, the Jewish people did not suffer either. Therefore he says that you're not allowed to believe what the Evan Ezra says, that the Jews suffered in the first three Makkahs, because the Pasuk seems clearly that the Jews did not suffer. And then the Radvaz says, if it would be true that the Jews also suffered in the first three plagues, how would that convince Paroi to send the Jewish people out? Meaning that if I hold that the Jewish people did not suffer in the first three plagues, then I understand the message that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving to Paroi, that the God of the Jews is strong and he favors his people. And the proof is that his people did not suffer in the plagues, then Paroi should be convinced to send the Jewish people out, because he could clearly see how God likes the Jewish people. Then the fact that he didn't send is considered a slight. But if the Jewish people suffered just as much as the Egyptians, how is that going to convince Paroi to send the Jewish people out? Paroi could think that this is just a fluke, that since we see that even the Jews are suffering, then obviously it is not the God of the Jews that is doing that, because if it would be the God of the Jews doing that, why would the Jewish people suffer? And since now, according to the Evan Ezra, the Jewish people suffered, how does that work to cause Paroi to send out the Jewish people? Therefore, the Radvaz says that it is not worth to spend more ink on this subject, and I just wrote the minimum to dispel the belief of the Evan Ezra. And the Rambam on Peresh HaMishnayis on Pirkei Avos, on Perik Hei, the fifth Perik, Mishnah number 5, where the Mishnah says, Eser makois hevia kodesh baruch hol ha-mitzrim be-mitzrayim, that 10 plagues did Hashem give on the Egyptians in Egypt, ve-eser alayom, and 10 plagues in the sea. There the Rambam says that the language that says that Hashem gave the plagues on the Egyptians in Egypt is literal only in the Egyptians and not on the Jews. Ve-yois kol mako maka miyuchedes be-mitzrayim, and you should know that all the plagues were given only to the Egyptian, loy be-Israel, and not in the Jews. And the Rambam says that showed everybody the miracle without any doubt, meaning that since the Egyptian received the plague and the Jew did not receive the plague, everybody was able to see that this is an open miracle and not a natural phenomena, that something happened and the plagues came. And he continues that the language of the Pasuk clearly shows that only the Egyptians were affected and not the Jews, with the exception of the plague of Kinim of lice, that the Torah doesn't write down specifically that the Egyptians only got these plagues, but it's known that Hashem did not punish the Jews, did not cause them suffering. And even if you're going to say that the plague of lice affected the Jewish people, but you should know that they weren't afflicted by them, that they didn't cause them that much pain. And the Rambam continues and tells you each of the plagues, the Pasuk, where it clearly says that the Egyptians got the plagues and not the Jews. And it's also important to note that the Rambam in Peresh HaMishnayis contradicts the Evan Ezra also in regard to the Makkah of Shechin and Arba, boils and locusts, where the Evan Ezra holds that they affected the Jewish people, because since the Jewish people were about to leave, they could suffer through this, and the vegetation of the Jewish people could be eaten because they are destined to eat man. The Rambam brings down that the psukim there on chapter 10, pasuk number 6, where it says, "Umolu botecho, vote kol avodecho, uvote kol Mitzrayim," that your houses and the houses of your servants, in the houses of the Egyptians, clearly denotes that only the Egyptians suffer through the makkah of locust, but that the Jewish people did not suffer in that makkah, contradicting the Ibn Ezra in that regard too. But nonetheless, we see clearly that according to the Rambam, the Jewish people did not suffer in the makkah of Dam, Tzvardeya, and Kinim, exactly as the Radvaz says. The Lubavitch Rebbe Zatzal Nasicha brings the idea of the Ibn Ezra, the idea of the Radvaz, and the idea of the Rambam, and the Lubavitch Rebbe is trying to figure out what is the opinion of Rashi. And he comes to the conclusion that since Rashi does not answer, is not bothered by the question of the Ibn Ezra, meaning that only in the fourth makkah it's written that Hashem separated between the Egyptians and the Jewish people, and it's not written previously this idea, and Rashi doesn't even try to answer this question. Obviously, Rashi held the same opinion as the Ibn Ezra, that the first three makkahs affected the Jewish people and the Egyptians alike. And only in the fourth makkah, that is when Hashem separated between the Egyptian and the Jew. And the Lubavitch Rebbe continues that we know for sure that the third makkah affected Jew and Egyptian alike, because in the third makkah, on chapter 8, pasuk number 14, there the pasuk says that the hiyakinam ba'adam uva'bahema, that the lice was in man and in animals. It doesn't say in the Egyptians and in their animals. It says in men. Men denotes Jew or Egyptian in the same way. And since the makkah of Kinnam affected the Jewish people, then we could say that the other two makkahs, Dam Tzvardeya, also affected the Jewish people. And that the Rambam writes that the makkah of Kinnam did not cause so much pain to the Jews, where does the Rambam take that? From the pasuk, we cannot see that the Jewish people suffered any less than the Egyptian. Furthermore, the Lubavitch Rebbe says that the proofs from the Rambam and from the Radvaz, from the Psukim, that the Psukim always say that the Egyptians didn't have water to drink, or the pasuk by Sfardeya where it says that the frogs will come into you and to your nation and to your servants, and doesn't mention the Jews, he says that that is not important, because since the whole idea of the plagues is to punish the Egyptians, then the Torah is not interested in saying how the Jewish people are coping with the plagues. All it's important for the Torah is to tell you how the Egyptians are coping and suffering with the plague. Could be that the Jewish people are suffering too, but the point of the plagues was to punish the Egyptians. Therefore, the Torah only tells you that Egypt is looking for water, that the frogs came into Pharaoh and his servants, and it's possible that it came to the Jews, but that is not important, because we are trying to show that the Egyptian people are suffering because of the plagues brought by Hashem. Therefore, the proofs of the Rambam and the proofs of the Radvaz that the pasuk is referring to Egyptians only, it's not necessarily a proof. The Lubavitch Rebbe continues and says that the only real question is the question of the Radvaz. The Radvaz asks that if it's true that the Jewish people were suffering in the same way as the Egyptians were suffering in the first three plagues, then how can Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem expect Paroi to let the Jewish people go when Paroi sees that the Jewish people are suffering the plagues in the same way as Paroi? They are just equally suffering. Then how does Paroi know that the God of the Hebrews, the God of the Jewish people, is the one that is making the plagues? How is Moshe Rabbeinu trying to convince Paroi by sending the plagues to send the Jewish people out? The Lubavitcher Rebbe answers that Rashi himself explains this reason when Rashi explains why Hashem chose to smite the river first. Meaning that Rashi on chapter 7, Pasuk number 17, where it says that you should hit on the river and the waters will turn to blood, Rashi explains why did Hashem tell him to do that. Rashi says, "Lefi she'ein geshomim yoidim b'mitzrayim," because there is no rain falling in Egypt, "v'nilos oile umashkes oretz," and the Nile River goes up, in other words, it goes over its border and that irrigates the whole land of Egypt. Comes out that the Egyptians are totally dependent on the Nile River because there is no other source of water. Since they are dependent on the Nile River, they look upon it all the time and they pray for it. Umitzrayim oivdim lenilus, and the Egyptians worship the Nile River, meaning that the Nile River is a god for the Egyptians. Lefikach, therefore, Hilko Ezirasam, Hashem decided to smite their deity, Ve'achakach Hilko Oisam, and afterwards Hashem hit the Egyptians. In other words, Rashi is trying to explain how come the first plague was against the river, meaning that Hashem could have given the plagues on the Egyptians and start punishing their bodies. Why did Hashem decide first to punish them through the river? What did the river do wrong that Hashem decided to punish it? The answer is that the river was a god to the Egyptians, and Hashem first wanted to discredit their god before Hashem decided to punish them themselves. And the way to discredit their god is by having their god turn to blood and frogs coming out from their god. Like that, Hashem will shame their god and also show that he is more powerful than their god, that their god is powerless when faced with Hashem, that Hashem, the god of the Jews, is more powerful than their god. According to this, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, we understand why was it required that the Jewish people should also suffer from this plague. Meaning that had the water not turned to blood in the Jewish neighborhoods, then the Egyptians would have had two arguments and we wouldn't be able to discredit the Egyptian god, and the Egyptians would still believe that their god is a very strong god. Meaning that they knew that something limitless could only be done by something limitless. Meaning that if the blood is limitless, that anywhere in Egypt is blood, that could be created by something limitless like a god. But something that has a limit, for example, if it would only go up to the Jewish neighborhood, then that could be created by something that has a limit. Therefore, it was required that the blood will be limitless, that there won't be a limit, that even in the Jewish neighborhoods, the water will turn to blood. Furthermore, if in the Jewish neighborhood, the water would still remain water, that the Nile would not turn to blood, would still remain in the same way as it was water, then the Egyptians would have had a very valid argument. They would have said that in the Jewish neighborhood, our god, the Nile River, is stronger than the Jewish god, meaning that the Jewish god is impotent to change the Nile into blood. True that the Jewish god is stronger than our god in our neighborhood, but in the Jewish neighborhood, our god, the Nile River, is stronger than the Jewish god, that the god of the Jews cannot change the river in their neighborhood because the Nile River god is stronger than the Jewish god. Therefore, there was no choice. Hashem had to allow that the Jewish people should suffer that the Jewish people should have the Nile River turned to blood even in their neighborhood, in order to convince completely the Egyptians that the Jewish God is the only God, and the Egyptian God, the Nile River, is worthless. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe continues and says that the same idea is in regard to the Makkah of Kinim, lies, meaning that since the whole reason for the Makkah of Kinim, of lies, is that the Egyptian magicians and the sorcerers should finally admit and realize that Etzba Elohim Zeh, that this is the finger of Hashem, had the plague not been effective for the Jews, that means that the plague would have a limit. And the sorcerers knew that anything that has a limit could be created by a man. They also knew that anything that is limitless is most probably created by something that is limitless. Therefore, if the Jewish people don't get the plague of lies, that means that this plague has a limit, then they would not proclaim that Etzba Elohim Zeh, that this is the finger of God, because they would have suspected that this plague was done by human beings, namely Moshe and Aharon. Ah, how come they aren't able to duplicate it? They would have assumed that we are sorcerers, but Moshe and Aharon are greater sorcerers than us. They are able to make bigger sorcery, and they are able to make the plague that we can't. But now that the plague is limitless, that even the Jewish people receive this plague, then the sorcerers knew that this comes from a source that is limitless, meaning that it comes from a deity, from a god. Therefore, as soon as they got this plague, and they could not duplicate it, and they were so afflicted from it, they said, Etzba Elohim Zeh, that this is the finger of God, and this is the reason why Hashem sent this plague to begin with, because Hashem wanted them to realize that Hashem is a God. As the warning and the lesson that is written before each set of three plagues, on Pasuk number 17 of chapter 7, where it says, Koyomar Hashem, so did Hashem says, Bezoi Steida, with these plagues you will know, Ki Ani Hashem, that I'm Hashem, meaning that the purpose of these three plagues was for the Egyptians to realize that Hashem is God. And the only way that this could happen is if the Jewish people also suffer. I was relating this Chiddush of the Lubavitcher Rebbe regarding what Rashi holds regarding the first three Makkahs. My friend Rabbi Ephraim Soibel, Ibad Lechaim, says that we actually could bring proof from Rashi in Parshas Vayechi on chapter 47, Pasuk number 29, that Rashi clearly holds that the plague of Kinim lies affected the Jewish people too. Because Rashi there explains one of the reasons why Yaakov Avinu was asking Yosef to be buried in Eretz Yisrael and not be buried in Egypt is because Yaakov foresaw that it's going to be a plague of lies, and the land of Egypt is going to turn to be lies, and he didn't want to be affected by the lies. Now, that teaches us clearly that the lies affected the Jews, because if the lies would not affect the Jews, meaning that the land of Goshen did not have any lies, or that no lies attacked any Jew, then there is no problem of Yaakov Avinu being buried in Egypt, because no matter where Yaakov Avinu is, no lies will affect him. The lies will only affect the Egyptians and not the Jews. Then from the fact that Yaakov Avinu said, do not bury me in Egypt because the land is going to be turning to lies and I'm going to be affected by it, then obviously you see clearly that the plague of lies also affected the Jews. I wanted to say, based on the logic of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that maybe the Medrash that says that because of the plague the Jewish people became rich still could be true. Meaning that it's possible that the plague affected the Jewish people, but yet it did not affect the Jewish people. Meaning that the whole reason that we said before that the plague had to take effect in the neighborhoods where the Jews were is because if the plague did not take effect, then the Egyptians would have claimed that their deity is strong, and in order to disprove their deity, the plague has to take effect uniformly. I wanted to say it could be really that all over Egypt, even in the land of Goshen, wherever there was a Jew, any water turned to blood. But if one difference, that whenever a Jew came to drink that blood turned to water, meaning that in its natural state, it turned to blood. And everywhere there was blood, therefore it disproves the Egyptian that their God is a God, because we see that everywhere it turned to blood, that their God is powerless anywhere. But as soon as a Jew would touch that blood to drink, that blood will turn to be water. Therefore, the Jewish people got wealthy by selling the waters to the Egyptian. Therefore, it's possible that the plague affected the Jews, meaning that even in the area where the Jews were, there was a plague where the Nile turned into blood and all the waters turned to blood. But nonetheless, the Jews were not affected by the plague because the Jews had water to drink. And from that water, the Jewish people became wealthy because they were able to sell this water to the Egyptians. And then we also understand how come it's not written in the Pasuk that Hashem will separate the land of Goshen for the Jewish people, that the plague won't be there, as it's written in the plagues of Aroiv, of the wild animals and the other plagues, that was a separation between the Jews and the Egyptians. Because really, the plague was everywhere. But nonetheless, even though the plague was everywhere, the Jewish people did not suffer from the plague, because as soon as they touched the blood, it turned to water. Even though I could say that this is opinion of Rashi, according to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and I could say that actually the Jewish people were not afflicted by the plague, but regarding what the Evan Ezra says, I can't say that. Because the Evan Ezra clearly doesn't agree with me, because the Evan Ezra starts his words by saying, Rabim Oimrim, many say, Ki amayim oyu b'yad ha-mitzri adumim, that the waters were in the hands of the Egyptian red, kedam, like blood, v'nislabnu b'yad ha-israeli, and they became white, meaning they became water again, in the hand of the Jew, as I wanted to say. But the Evan Ezra doesn't agree, because the Evan Ezra says that if this is what happened, how come this miracle is not written in the Torah? Therefore, my interpretation could work according to Rashi, but clearly cannot work according to the Evan Ezra, because the Evan Ezra clearly says that the Jewish people were afflicted by the plague just as well as the Egyptians. And Hashem Yisburach should help that in these weeks that we're reading about our first redemption from Egypt, that we should merit again to have a redemption quickly. B'imhero b'yomeinu, Moshiach should come, the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. B'imhero b'yomeinu, Amen.